my brother here this morning. I pray that the Lord will be with him. I know he's in need of your prayers. I know that Brother Mike and Brother Frank are getting prepared to go to the Philippines again. And I pray that the Lord will be with them there also. But our prayer this morning is that the Lord will direct our Brother Mike, for I know it's his desire to serve us and to serve the Lord. Our Brother Mike.
Good morning. Vic talked about preparation for the Philippines. And I just went back and touched base with Brother Frank, and I feel comfortable and ready to go. We've been traveling together for a number of years and have had a lot of problems and have overcome them in the Lord and with each other. But I had a great concern, because not only is Carol going, but Michelle is going. And my biggest concern was whether they would bring their own coffee and peanut butter. And they will. So we'll have a good trip. Normally at this time, a preacher asks that you bring your minds in. But I want you to think out into the world. I want you to think about what is all around you in the world, in the news. Questions of morality, scandals at every point, your work situation, the economy, financial problems at home, in the community, the state, the nation, the world, problems in the Gulf, British Petroleum, Bernie Madoff, biggest Ponzi scheme ever. And in prison, he feels sorry for himself. I want you to think about the sickness and the death. I want you to think about sometime this next century, they say a dust bowl is imminent. Global warming, whether you believe it or not. Think about all the problems in the world. Then I wanted to invite you to turn to Lamentations, the third chapter. Lamentations, the third chapter. And if I were going to put a title on this sermon, it would be, Therefore Have I Hope. And in Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah is writing, and it's a period of time between the capture of Jerusalem and its imminent destruction by the Chaldeans. And think about the pressures that were brought to bear upon all the people there. In Brother Bill's class this morning, they talked about the two baskets of figs, the one that was good, the one that was evil. The good people that had chosen to follow the Lord, and those that had chosen to be caught up in the world. And it was the Chaldeans that separated the people into those two baskets, figuratively. But it was of the Lord's will that this was accomplished. But it was by their choice. I want to begin reading with verse 14. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. And this is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a prophet of God. And he was held to contempt and to ridicule. That's what the word derision means. He had a message from the Lord for the people, and in our reading today, he said that he rose up early and gave that message, that burden that had been placed upon his heart. And the people made a song out of it. They mocked him. They held him in contempt. They ridiculed him. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. Bitterness all the day through. This is what the prophet drank in being a servant. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Now, I have a personal stake in a broken tooth caused with a gravel stone. And that's from the Philippines, one of my early souvenirs. For when they grind some of their produce, or when they gather their grain, rice, and boil it, sometimes there are very minute stones in there. And when you eat the rice, don't do it with gusto. That's what I did. And on the inside, the top tooth, about halfway back, it doesn't feel bright and shiny anymore. It has a dull feel to the tongue. And I have broken that enamel. It's not giving me any trouble, but I have a souvenir. I know what it is to have a gravel stone in the food. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. Now, you and I suffer a great many things in this world, financially. And we've suffered because of it. But we can look back and remember prosperity, remember the way it was. But Jeremiah was so caught up in service to the Lord and being derided of the people that he forgot what prosperity was. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. As Nephi spoke in the Book of Mormon, as Paul did in the Book of Romans, there were ups and downs, valleys and peaks. There were times that they were very high in service to the Lord, and there were times when in the flesh they sank. And that's what the prophet here is doing. He is feeling the effects of the people as they bear upon him the hard things of the world. And he's suffering because of it. And he feels at this time very far off from the Lord. Now I want you to think about yourself. In this world, in this time, how do you feel? But at the same time, I want you to think about the chastisement is for the believer's good. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it says, when you are in the middle of that chastisement of the Lord, it's not a pleasant place. But as you arrive on the other side and have kept the Lord at your side, you're able to look back and to see how the Lord has blessed you throughout that troublesome time. And also, sorrow serves a spiritual purpose. And as our brother Jeremiah suffered and felt very far apart from the Lord, tread upon by the people, he sorrowed. But on the other side, it served a very great purpose. Brother Bill read that at the end of 70 years of this chastisement, of this sorrow, they would be on the other side. They would be allowed to come back into the land and to repossess it. Not just the land, but the promise of God. Think about your life. No matter what the pressure, chastisement serves a purpose. No matter how low you feel and who puts pressure upon you, sorrow is for your own good in the Lord. Because what is the purpose of God? To redeem life for his people. His people. It's up to you and I as we choose which basket of fig we are, yesterday, today, and when Christ comes. Will we be that good fig or that bad fig? And it said that fig had no good taste in it. I'd like to turn in the Book of Mormon to Mosiah, the third chapter. And I'm going to look at verses 1 through 16. Now, in order to have this hope within you, you're going to have a view of what is happening and what will be accomplished and what is at the end, a great view of things to come. And in this reading, King Benjamin is speaking to the people. And he is presenting the truth of God and their choice that lies before them. And in verse 2, it says that they believe all these words that he has taught them. Well, today we are preached to. We study the Bible, the Book of Mormon. We pray. And God ministers to us. And we too must make an affirmation, not just one time for all time, but every day of our life, where we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. They spoke of the surety and the truth that lies within the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent. Do you know that truth? And do you know it to be sure within yourself? Verse 4, and we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. Do you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you pray daily? Do you study the Scriptures? Do you study the visions and the dreams that God has blessed this body with? And through that, you have a great view of that which is to come. And it says, so great was it that if it were expedient that this group of people could prophesy. To be so close in tune with God that they would know the future through Him. A great view of that which is to come. But yet they were under pressure. The same pressure that Jeremiah talked about, the same pressure that you and I know, but they had hope. It goes on and speaks about a great knowledge in verse 5, which caused exceeding great joy. And they entered in verse 6, with a covenant with their God. Jeremiah knew God. You and I, through our covenant with God, know Him and His Son. And this group of people would know God in the same way as you and I. The same hope, the same view, the same God, the same people, the same body, made up of different members. They entered into a righteous covenant. In verse 8, it says, because of this covenant, they were called the children of Christ. Verse 9, it says that their hearts were changed through faith. Now, I don't know about you, but the world pushes and pulls, and I slip from time to time. Back into the world. Back into who I used to be. But if our hearts are truly changed in Christ, and if we have that great view before us, no matter what happens, therefore we have a hope. A hope. And if we slip, if we fall far short, and as Jeremiah spoke, he felt far from God, like he was forgotten. Does God forget us? Or do we pull apart? It's up to us to find our way back into the fold, to the body, to be a child of Christ once more in the same way that we found ourselves in through hope. It says that verse 11, there is no other name given except Christ. In Christ. And I enjoyed Brother Rusty's testimony this morning, how when he was seeking employment, he talked to his prospective interviewer, his boss, and they found a relationship one with the other through Christ, because they had that same hope. Not the same baptism, the same Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. And it's through hope that we can reach out, that we can talk to others that know nothing of us. Or if we hold this book up, what is found in the Book of Mormon, but the same hope that is found in the Bible. What a great strength we can share. Goes on and talks about how that once having made this commitment to Christ, our name will never be blotted out. But it's up to us to keep that name clean before Christ. I said I slip. You may not see it, but Christ does. And he knows when you stub a toe. He knows when you are weak. And he knows when you are afar off. So we must have that great view before us at all times. How that who we used to be, who we became, and in time who Christ would have us to be. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No new scripture. But it talks about the body of Christ. It talks about what makes up the body of Christ. And that has not changed. It talks about, in the beginning, the gifts that God would give us. Gifts of the Spirit. What a wonderful thing to have them amongst us. And in the body of Christ, there are those in our number that have been given gifts. One time, sometimes for all time. And through their strength of that gift, the body is strengthened. And we each, as members, share. And we each, as members, grow. And if there is any growth in the body, through a member, that body is made stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In Christ we are united. Without Christ, we're separate. We can go our own ways. But in Christ, having made that covenant that the Book of Mormon talked about, having taken upon us his name, the body is made whole. And Christ is at the front. For the body is not one member, but many. You know, I look at other churches, other religions. We have a strength and a weakness within the body of Christ. God is no respecter of person, and we believe that. And within the body of Christ, there are some that are more comely, some that are less comely. The 12th chapter talks about that. The responsibility of those that are more honorable to bestow honor upon those that are less comely. And that doesn't mean whether you're the best looking. In the Philippines, they do this. It has nothing to do with it. What we look like on the outside, but how Christ has changed us on the inside. In this reading, it talks about members in particular. What does that mean? What you like to eat? What you like to wear? What you would prefer to drink? Dinner Sunday? Has nothing to do with it. Members in particular. And if you look up that definition of particular, of or belonging to a single definite group, apart from any other. Are we different? I hope so. Are we so different that we cannot reach out? I hope never. But let us be particular about how God has changed us and what He has changed us into. Verse 18 says that God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. Now we're going to the Philippines. What is a Filipino's dream? Come to America. Why did God set you in America to begin with? Why not in Africa? Why not in the Philippines? He set you where it pleased Him. Geographically, but spiritually, within the body of Christ, He has placed us where it has pleased Him. Some you may look to, you might look to your pastor and thank him to be greater. After all, he has a great responsibility. But that's not what King Benjamin taught. He said, when you are in the service of your fellow man, you are only in the service of God. So he who would be greatest is least. Does the world look that way? No. It's a dogfight, a catfight. Who can make it to the top? But not in the Church of Christ. Verse 20 says, there are many members, yet one body. Verse 22 says, some are more feeble. Physically, maybe. Mentally, yes. Spiritually, sometimes. And sometimes there's an ebb and flow to our strength, individually. I said I fall. I said I get weak. Jeremiah was weak. Nephi was weak. And I don't aspire to be who they were spiritually. They were great men in service to God. But we ebb and flow. But as we find ourselves placed where God has put us within the body of Christ, we draw strength one from the other. And we are able to share. And through the strengthening, when we are strong and able to help, the body is held on an even keel. And when we are weak and someone out there is able to help me to come up to where I should be, the body is held on an even keel. It pleases Jesus Christ where He has placed you. Now, we're getting ready to go to the Philippines. Missionaries. I've been an apostle, still am, an elder, used to be a priest, used to be a member. But where God placed me, as long as I did my utmost, I held up my end of the deal. You know when I was happiest? When I was a priest. Had an elder that took charge. Somebody else at the forefront. But now that I'm at the forefront, you know what makes me strong? If you're strong. And not just you. Those in the Philippines, those in Africa, those in Mexico. Brothers and sisters we will never meet. But yet we are made strong. You hear stories about the Philippines and you think, what a great faithful people they are. They are. But they hear stories about you. And they think, what a great faithful people you are. Think about yourself. Are you great? Are you always faithful? In Christ, we perceive each other to be what He has called us to be. Unless we're shown different. And that's our choice. In Christ, we are made strong. There are differences in the world. President of the United States, CEO of British Petroleum. I wouldn't want either of their jobs right now. Neither one. But the world perceives what success is. Success in the world. What success in the Church of Christ? Are there differences between you and I? Between this body up on the temple lot? The temple lot versus down in Yucatan. Are there differences in the Church of Christ? I want you to turn to Matthew 25, verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now it talks about men, but it's talking about women. It's talking about members of the Church of Christ, those of the age of accountability. And each of us, he has given talents. Why do you have 5 and I've only got 2? Who among us only has 1? But what does God judge? He determines how many talents. And it's up to us how we use them. That's what he judges. Not the number, but how you use what you have in service to Him and others. That's what God judges. Every man according to his several ability. God is no respecter of person. Why did He give you 5 and me only 2? Not for me to wonder. God has determined, and it's His purpose that we serve. You want more abilities? More talents? You can have them. If we go to 2 Peter, what do we find? the virtues. If we go to Galatians 5, what do we find? Fruit. And if we go to, we've got to look at the Corinthian letter, we find the gifts. Ah, we want those gifts. But you can't determine to have them. I want to bear fruit. But it is it in you to bear the fruit. The only thing that you can willfully determine how you live your life and make change is in the virtues. To improve your soil. To make it deep. To put nutrition in it. To water it. And seeds are planted. And fruit is born. And guess what happens when you bear fruit? God is faithful to give gifts. Maybe to you. Maybe to me. But whoever gets it, we share as members in particular in the body of Christ. You want the body to be stronger? Be a strong member. You want to be a strong member? Work on your virtues. And I'm not going to enumerate what they are. They're in 2 Peter. And if you do that, God is faithful. And you will grow and you'll become who He would have you to be. Romans 8, verse 20 says that you, not by choice, these are my words, you not by choice were subjected to the vanity of this world in the hope of who you can become in Christ. Therefore have I hope, because I look at Mike McGee, who I used to be, and there was no hope. And I look at who I am today, and I think, why did I waste all that time? I could have been so much more. And so could you. Work on the virtues. Bear the fruit. God rewards us with gifts. And the body is strong. Because the membership is strong. Great views of that which is to come. Members in particular. Which is better? To be a member? Be a part of the ministry? Well, women, you will never be part of the ministry. I think what is better is to be a strong member. That's where we grow. Whether we're ministry or not, whether we're male or female, if we are a strong member, we grow. And we can only grow if we have that great hope before us. To be a strong member. And we cannot be a strong member if we don't have that hope constantly before us. Constantly. Let's go. I missed something back in Lamentations. Let's go back to that. I'm not even sure what I missed. Okay. Lamentations 3, verse 21. Let's start with 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Remembering the pressure of the world. Remembering the hardships of life. Remembering the turmoil that is within families, within marriages, within brother and sister. Remembering every pressure brought to bear. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. That is what God works with. a man, a woman, a child of the age of accountability that is humbled. Humbled. Oh, we're quick to do iniquity, slow to remember God. But if we are humbled of the world because of the Chaldeans that came against Jerusalem, because of what we see in the world today, if we are humbled, God is ready to work with us. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You think you've hit bottom? Well, I've been close, and so have you. But we have not hit bottom if we have a hold of the Lord. We are not consumed because His compassions fail not. I like that. Because God loves you so much, He's not going to let go. Book of Mormon says, cleave unto God as He cleaves unto you. What mother, what grandmother, holding their own, does not hold them close no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how that mother or grandmother may be hurt, they do not let them go because they belong to them. And Christ is the same way. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. All you have to do with the pressures that you feel, with the hardships that you bear, with the pain that you experience, with whatever the hardship is, you give it over to God every night when you go to bed. You sleep. And when you awake, they are new every morning. That day is made new in God. Your hope is anew. May have the same problems, but there's a way out in God. Always has been, always will be. Alma, when he talked to his sons in the 17th and 18th chapters, two different sons, he said, these are my words again, as you trust in God and work hard for Him, one son He's going to deliver. Another son He's simply going to support. It's up to God. Whether we are supported, whether we're pulled out of the problem, God is faithful to those that seek Him. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Trust not in the arm of flesh, but in God, in His Son Jesus Christ, and give heed to the direction, the counsel of that Holy Ghost. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seek Him. Therefore have I hope. Got to have a great view. Got to be a strong member. A strong body. I've got too much. And you're looking forward to eating. I've seen some put their books away. And it's not going to be a long one, Frank. I want you to take time. Come next sacrament service. When you have opportunity to look back when you made that covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you became that new creature in Him. when that old man, that old woman, your old ways, were dead in Christ, and you arose that new creature out of the waters, regenerated, a new creature in Christ, and began a walk, a journey. And then I want you to look forward to where your goal is. Not till you are sealed incorruptible can you let up. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day." You know, that's the only scripture I know by heart. And it's the one I give in the Philippines every time they ask for a memory verse. And you better have one. The path of the just, the shining light that is Christ, shines more and more as you allow it unto that perfect day. But it goes on and it says, watch where you walk. It says the world is going to stumble over things they don't even see. But you're going to see them. You're going to recognize them. You're going to receive warning, whether of a prophet Jeremiah, whether of the foolishness of preaching, whether through study of the scriptures, of visions, of dreams that we have received. You're going to be warned. Maybe by nothing more than the indwelling of that Holy Ghost. What a great counsel that is. A friend, a strength that shines more and more unto the perfect day. But it says, you better be blinded to the left and the right. What do they call those things they put on horses or mules? And sometimes we're as dumb as a horse or a mule. You better have them on. Not look to the left or right. That's where the world is. Straight ahead. And it says, don't even let your eyelids droop. Straight ahead to that perfect day. Are you ready? To eat? Yes. Are you ready for that goal of eternal life? Therefore, have I hope. And I thank you.